Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, do call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about grace and money, and I tell you, one of the things that I've learned about myself, you know, when money issues arise, is that I can get anxious about money. I can get anxious about trying to get out of debt. I can get anxious about all sorts of issues when it relates to money. And then I read a passage in Philippians that says, do not be anxious about anything. And you start to wonder, how do you move from anxiety to peace? How does that mind of yours get quiet and down? How does it get calmed and soothed so that you can actually draw upon the wisdom of God to make some good decisions moving forward? Well, that's what we want to talk about today on today's broadcast. If you have money issues, if you have feelings of anxiety, if you have worries and cares that you don't know what to do about, we want to talk about them. We want to help point you into the Word of God, give you some helpful solutions to move you in the right direction, because the Word of God does have some helpful solutions. I know, Andrew, in your travels, as you meet with people, you encounter folks that have anxiety all the time, and they're looking for help. If they weren't anxious, they wouldn't be looking for help. But the fact they are kind of troubled on the inside, they're wrecked or broken on the inside, they're looking for ways to get mended. And what are some of the things that you tell them? What do you say? What's the counsel that you give in that regard?
Yeah, well, Bob, you know, first of all, I think we need to tell people there's not a quick fix. In other words, God talks about a renewing of the mind, but he doesn't talk about a Band-Aid on the emotions. And so people are going to feel all kinds of things. We will feel fear. We will feel anxiety. But the answer is not to sit around saying, I can't feel these things. I better not feel these things. I shouldn't feel these things. And then try to diagnose ourselves and get rid of something in terms of feelings because we think we're weird or unusual. I mean, the Bible actually tells us, hey, you know, I'm going to address your anxiety because I know you're going to get anxious sometimes. I'm going to address your fears because I know that you're human and you deal with fear. So, you know, imagine like you're hiking and you all of a sudden come upon a bear. And so you just run and run down the path and finally get in the cabin and lock the door and you're safe inside. But man, I'm telling you, you're safe, but your emotions are on a level 10. I mean, they are screaming and yet you're safe. And then 5 minutes later, your emotions are on a level 7, but you're still safe. And then they maybe trickle down to a 4, but you're still safe. You were safe the whole time you were in the cabin, but your emotions take time to catch up. And in the same way, you know, the Bible, the gospel is saying we're safe with regard to our sins. We're safe. We're forgiven. With regard to our acceptance, we're safe. We're okay. We're righteous. With regard to our identity, we're safe. We're new. We're seated right next to God. We're okay. But sometimes, Bob, you know, it just takes a while for emotional healing, and we got to have time and we got to have truth.
Yes, indeed. And if that's something that you're experiencing, if you're anxious, if you're worried about some things in life, there's help, there's hope, and we want to point you to the Word of God, and we would love to talk about that on today's broadcast. Like I said, our topic for the month is grace and money. We all have money problems, money issues. And Andrew, you bring up a great word there, safety. We like to have some safety when it comes to money issues. We'd like to have a little margin in our lives. And I know most of us, most people in America live paycheck to paycheck, and there's very little margin. If something, some crisis happens, some emergency, they have no safety there. There's nothing underneath them. And that's when this anxiety really intensifies in our lives. How are we going to get out of this mess? And I think one of the ways to do that is to prepare in advance, to plan ahead, and to generate some safety. I know there's some wonderful financial counselors out there. I'm a Dave Ramsey fan. My good buddy Austin Pryor up in Louisville, Kentucky, has some incredible wisdom on financial planning. And one of the first things you hear them all say is to develop an emergency fund, to put some money aside so that when emergencies arise, you have some safety there. And I think what you were talking about is such a key element of the human experience. We get anxious because there's no safety around mm-hmm. us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can build some safety, and that's where this gospel of Jesus Christ comes into play, because if we're in Him, we certainly are safe and secure. And then if we can tap into that and let that safety kind of spoke out to, you know, the other areas of our lives, then we're going to truly experience some peace, aren't we?
Yeah, and we're not talking about, financial safety from a world's perspective. I mean, we, in this world, we are going to have trouble. But, you know, what the enemy is so good at is projecting a worst-case scenario on the movie screen of our minds. And that's what creates anxiety. Anxiety is fear about a potential future. And so we see this movie in our minds and we freak out about the movie. Now, you know, we might be perfectly safe living in the present, but we are looking into the future, into this looking glass, and the enemy is freaking us out. So you notice that the enemy has two strategies: guilt about the past and fear about the future. And all I'm saying is that if we could learn to live in the present with Jesus, it doesn't mean financial security. It means spiritual security, and that we're going to be ultimately okay because God's got us covered. But, you know, let's not paint the picture that we won't have trouble. We may have trouble, but this world and even our finances, that is not our security. Our security is Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Grace and money, of course, is the primary topic, but whatever the situation, if it's not a money issue or some other issue, we'd love to talk about it with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Also want to mention our special matching gift challenge for this month, or for the rest of this month until March 31st. What that means is any gift given to Basic Gospel between now and March 31st will be doubled, dollar for dollar, up to $25,000. We mentioned that on the air Monday. We had a wonderful response Monday. We mentioned it yesterday. We had a great response to the challenge as well. I think we're about 30% there.
Oh, my.
So we're moving in the right direction. We need to hear from more of you. A gift of $35 reaches 100 people through this ministry. That gift will be doubled. So your reach will go from 100 people to 200 people. It's a wonderful way, an opportune time to double the impact of your gifts to Basic Gospel, to double your ministry through Basic Gospel.
Yeah.
So take advantage of this matching gift challenge. It's there due to the generosity of some of the guys on our board of directors. We certainly appreciate that. And it just comes from their hearts that say, we want to reach as many people as we can with the wonderful news that Jesus Christ is alive. So stand with us during this matching gift challenge.
You can find the donation button right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net, the matching gift challenge, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift through our operator.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Nick in New York listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
A patient man, Nick.
Yes.
Good afternoon. How are you guys today?
Doing well. How are you?
Great, great. I was listening to the last show before this one from New York, and I just had a question. One of the callers called in and asked a question about
women
as pastors. Yeah. The scripture, what book does the scripture clearly outline requirements for elders and deacons?
Well, Timothy and Titus, both of those books talk about the qualifications for elders. And as Paul wrote to Timothy and as he wrote to Titus, he's talking about men serving in those roles. The overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. It doesn't say that women are going to be serving in that. So there was a definite directive for the qualifications toward men serving in those roles.
Okay, that was my question. The question, when the guy asked it, you kind of went around that, you know, there's a lot of women pastors today, which there are.
Well, what I was trying to say,
there's this one verse, verse
12 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, where it says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. And that is the verse that most people latch on to say women cannot be pastors. But when you look at the word authority, it is a different word than what a pastor would have in a body of believers. It has something to do with a local situation of that day.
I agree with you. I agree with you
so
on that.
So that's what I really wanted to talk about, because I know way too many people who pull this verse and say, see, women can't be pastors. And I think there's a broader context. And so when he talks about qualifications, it is directed toward men, although we do see in the formation of the early church, we see women definitely playing significant leadership roles in various places that the church was forming at that time. Paul mentions a number of women who played prominent roles, specifically in the book of Romans. I want to make sure that we understand that God uses male and female to advance the kingdom. It's not just a male-driven kingdom that God is putting together. Male and female play significant roles in the advancement of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's absolutely correct. Women can be teachers, but they, according to Scripture, they cannot be pastors. An elder is a pastor, and they are not entitled to be pastors, and God made it that way for a reason that you read. I think that the Scripture that you should have used would have been the one in Timothy. The other one you did explain correctly. There's another word for that authoritative rule, but clearly elders are pastors, and clearly elders
overseers,
need to be men. Yes.
Well,
it is really
sharing.
A yes or no answer.
Well, yeah, it's a yes or no answer, but for you, it's a no, and for some of us, it may be a yes. In other words, we disagree here on this issue, and that's okay. That's what debate and discussion are for. And so, you know, I think you're going to find a lot of Christians with a lot of different views on whether men and women can do this or that. And ultimately, we find out in heaven. But right now, there's approximately, 100,000 women out there who are pastoring churches or so. And, So you got a lot of phone calls if you want to correct everybody.
I respect you guys a lot, and I listen to you every day, and I'm very surprised for you guys to hear you guys say this. I mean, I have never disagreed with anything you guys have said up to now, and I'm very surprised because that's a very clear issue. And I'm a little disturbed by that coming from you guys, because you guys are on the ball.
Which verse would it be that precisely says women cannot be pastors?
It doesn't say they can't be. It says that it gives the qualification for pastors and elders and deacons, and women are not there. That's the problem. It's like, you know, it's the fact that they're not there doesn't mean they can be. It says must be a husband of one wife.
Right.
Doesn't say can be a wife of one husband. That's very, very clearly laid out. Very clearly laid out. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
You're exactly right on how that scripture is written. It is directed toward men serving in those roles. So
there are no scriptures that are directed towards women serving in those roles, though. That's the problem. No, yeah. None.
So you're operating on an absence of information. I mean, Timothy is written to a Jewish church with a Jewish pastor, and you don't know exactly if Paul would have exactly the same instruction in a Gentile community for Gentile churches. You're operating on an absence. So I don't want to make my life about judging every woman minister and saying they're wrong. But I'm going to have my own personal conviction about that. And I guess in the spirit of Romans, I'm going to let some people honor one day and some people honor all days as belonging to the Lord. And then I'm going to let some debates be settled in heaven. And I don't think that you hear us, you know, I don't think you hear us trying to stir up some sort of strong argument to take a strong stance that might offend some on this. You know, we're just happy that the gospel is being proclaimed by humans, period.
Yeah, no, I understand your take on it. I just think it's, I mean, obviously we can disagree. I just think it's not in Scripture, and it's a lot of what's going on with a lot of Scripture is they're just being, I guess, I don't know, for lack of a better word, watered down.
Well, you know, what I would say,
what explains the reason.
Yeah, what I would say, Nick, in a lot of this, and this is where my heart really rests, is we have a lot of confusion about the basic gospel, and we meet Christians almost every single day who are confused about the most basic issues, whether or not their sins are forgiven, whether or not they're eternally saved, or can they lose salvation, whether or not they're declared righteous and then, you know, through sin can be declared unrighteous. So there's lots and lots of confusion, and a lot of that is generated from the pulpits, generated from people who have assumed the office of pastor, who are overseeing the flock of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think we need to really make a stand there and say, listen, let's get the message right. It's not just any message. It's not just whatever we want to make it. It is the message of Jesus, the fact that he is the Lord, the fact that he is God, he was God in human flesh, the fact that he offered his body as a once-for-all sacrifice to take away the sins of the world, the fact that that body was placed in a tomb, and then on the third day was raised back to life. That is the issue that we really need to center on and that we really need to gather around and say, let's unify there. And if we unify there, then I think we can, like I said, spoke out and deal with these other issues in a very, very positive, grace-filled way. I know there's a lot of people who are pastors who meet these qualifications, and yet they're teaching error that is or leading people astray. So I
just think we need to not make up God's mind and his decision. We need to read what the Scripture says and follow what he says. I mean, he has reasons for doing what he did. We may not see them, and to use our own judgment to say, well, you know, doesn't say a woman can't be, you know, I don't think we need to make those decisions. I think we need to let God make those decisions, and I think it's very clear that he did that for a reason.
We appreciate your call today, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much.
All right. God bless.
A question from a relatively new friend who listens on the Internet in South Wales. This is from Barbara, and it really shifts gears. She says, a lady recently rang into the program and said that she had been possessed and God had released her from that. Does that really happen? Can we become possessed if we do not know God with the Holy Spirit indwelling us? Also, can people see the spirits of the dead who have passed away? And she said, I'm thinking of mediums. Is that possible? And what does the Bible have to say about all this?
Good question. Interesting question. It's one of those things that I think is kind of coming to the forefront more and more simply because of some of the stuff that we're seeing on television, some of the stuff that's going across, you know, the Internet and things that are showing up on movies. And I think that's a shift. I think Satan's behind all of it. To get us to focus on some of those type of issues and neglect what the gospel message is. We have a fascination about angels and demons and all of that when we should have a fascination with the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the days of Christ, there was demon possession. Those demons knew Jesus by name when he approached, and Jesus said, get out. He cast them out. And that's what he did. So there is that spiritual world, and there are spiritual forces of darkness. That's a reality. We understand that to be a reality, but we know there's victory in Jesus. Jesus said that he made a public spectacle of all of those forces of darkness as he hung on the cross and took upon himself the sins of the world. He made a public spectacle of those forces of darkness. And so if we're in Christ, we have that same victory. And we don't have to listen to what those demonic forces say to us. It means nothing. Sometimes we try to entertain those thoughts and those ideas, and that's when we get ourselves in trouble. But Satan has nothing to say to us. Why? Because we're in Jesus, and Jesus has already won the battle, and we're victorious in him. So that's the good news, and that's what we need to stand upon.
Absolutely. Well, one final question by email. This is from Doug in Fort Collins, Colorado. Some time ago, you talked about once you've accepted salvation, you cannot lose it. It's a gift from God. There is one unpardonable sin, which is the sin of unbelief. I'm trying to remember how you explained it, that once you accept a gift, you automatically have it. But what about if someone turns away from God and says they don't believe anymore? That's from Doug in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Andrew, how would you handle that?
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, we go to the book of Hebrews, and we find that in Hebrews 6 and 10, I mean, there is a warning about unbelief. There's a warning about rejecting the gospel. So those who outright hear the gospel and then say, no thanks, you know, they're in the aisle at the grocery store, they pick up the toothpick and they take the appetizer, the sampler, and yet they do not invest in the meal and take it home. I mean, that's what was happening. The Jews were getting a taste testers of the gospel and yet not swallowing it. So that is the unforgivable sin. I mean, you're spitting on the blood of Christ. You're spitting on the sacrifice. You're saying you're insulting the Son of God. You're saying this message about Jesus is not enough. But those same chapters also assure us, and they tell us that if we are in Christ, we are not of those who shrink back. We know that he began a good work in us. He carries it on to completion. We don't have temporal life. We've got eternal life. We are secure forever. It is a promise that God has made to God. And we are smack dab in the middle of it. And we just wake up, say, wow, and thank you.
Good job, guys. Well, we're just about out of time. What does the Word of God have to say about money? Well, find out at Bob Christopher's 2-CD message, Grace and Money. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request yours, you can go online to basicgospel.net or you can call our operator at 800-727-2828. Also, we've mentioned that we have this exciting matching gift challenge between now and the 31st, and you can double the reach of your ministry by joining with us at Basic Gospel. Every contribution will be matched, dollar for dollar, up to $25,000. You know, normally a gift of $175 reaches 500 people. Well, thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 now can reach 1,000 people with the gospel message. Of course, your gift of any amount is doubled. So this is a perfect time to offer your most generous gift, whatever it may be, and really make it count to connect with people the love of Jesus Christ. Calling 1-800-727-2828 today, you can make that gift. Again, that's 800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. Please be sure to choose matching gift as the fund designation. We also accept donations through PayPal. Currently, this is the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support the ministry. And thank you for helping us broadcast the only message that matters with your matching gift. Also, I want to remind you that all of the materials that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available from store.basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.